Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, and it reads like this. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said unto him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word. So the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they desired. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? And he knew that they had handed him over because they envied him. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Which of the two do you want me to release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What shall I then do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They said unto him, "Let him be crucified." What a situation to be placed in. Pilate couldn't have known that this was the Lord of glory. This was the creator of heaven and earth. This was the King of kings. This was the Son of God that was standing before him. Couldn't have known it. And the choice of the decision that he's faced with is one that people will remember him for the rest of time. This awesome, awful choice. What he's going to do with Christ, the King of glory, the Savior of the world, the one who's come to take away the sins of man. What an awesome responsibility. What an awful place, position to be in. And yet can I say, that whilst you might not be in that particular situation that Pilate was in, every time you hear of Christ, every time you're faced with a testimony like Matthew's, every time you're faced with the opportunity of trusting him, of hearing how he died on the cross, gave his life for you, you listen to the testimony, you know that he's bore your sin on the cross, every time you're faced with the person of Christ, you're in the exact same place that Pilate was. And at the end of this meeting, as Pilate was at the end of this gathering, you will be brought to a choice. And there are only one of two decisions that you can make. Not for me. I want nothing to do with that man. Not for me. Or you can say, Christ, for me. The text is found in verse 22. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Now here's a couple of wee things I want to bring to you. Notice Pilate's personal dilemma. What shall I do? Don't look at the person beside you. Don't look at the person in front of you. The question's not directed to them. The question is directed to you. What will you do with Christ? What have you done with him? Where is he in your life? What place has Christ in your heart? He had a choice to make. There's a growing awareness in Pilate's head and heart that this is no ordinary individual standing before him. This is someone who is very special indeed. And he's called to make a choice between two individuals, Barabbas or Jesus. Barabbas represents the wrong way. He was a criminal. Jesus represents the right way. He had a choice to make. That's the choice that you're faced with tonight. You can continue to go the way that you have been born. You can continue on the road that you've started on. You can continue on the broad road that the Bible says will bring you to destruction. You have to make a personal choice of getting off the broad road and getting on to the narrow road. You can continue to live the way that you've been living. But as you discovered from listening to Matthew's testimony, you can have on the outward appearance everything that you'd ever need. But inwardly, empty and broken, wrecked and ruined, and it'll take you in and spit you out and leave you with absolutely nothing. You have a choice to make. The choice between Barabbas, who represents the sinful pleasures of the world, that old fallen nature, that old self-lifestyle that we've been chasing after since the day we were born, or you can choose Christ. It's a personal choice. He had a choice to make. He had a conscience to appease. You know, Pilate says, "I find no fault in this man." In other words, it seems to me that as Jesus was standing before Pilate, there was a battle going on in Pilate's heart. He's looking at this man, and he knew that for envy, as the scriptures that we read together, he knew that they had a grievance against Jesus, because Jesus stood for something that was holy, that was righteous and godly and good. And he knew to look at this man, he knew to listen to this man, that there was something good about Jesus, something better than everybody else that was around him. He knew there was goodness. He knew there was something about Jesus that he needed. And his conscience made him aware the right thing to do was trust in Christ. It might be in this gathering that all of your life, or for most of your life, or for some of your life, you've been conscious and aware. You've been saying things like Matthew has been saying. I need something. There's something empty. There's something going on in here. And you've heard perhaps of Christ. Maybe another footballer has spoken to you. You've heard the testimonies of Connor Downey or someone else. Maybe you learned the verses of Scripture in Sunday school. And your conscience becomes aware. There's something good and right in Christ. Isn't it interesting that you can have that consciousness, that awareness, that battle going on in your heart, and still not make the right choice? He had a decision to make. That could be your dilemma. Notice, secondly, Pilate's preposterous decree. You see to it. Let him be crucified. How on earth could Pilate arrive at the verdict, death by crucifixion? If on the one hand he saw Jesus as being innocent, and yet on the other hand, by this decree, condemn him to a ghastly death. How come you can applaud Matthew? And well done, Matthew. Glory to God, a story that needs to be heard. But you won't trust the one that Matthew has trusted. How come? How come you can know in your heart that the right thing to do, the right life to live, the right way to go is to follow Christ? I mean, You don't want to be sitting contemplating suicide. You're so glad and happy for him that he's been delivered from that. And yet with all of that, make the wrong choice. Can I say there were three things that I see here in this passage that made him make the wrong choice? There was the pressure of the people. They were calling. They were vying for his blood. They were saying, give us Barabbas and crucify Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that if Pilate didn't give in to them, there was going to be a riot. There might be people here tonight, and you would love to be able to trust Christ. You'd love to trust Christ, but there's a battle going on, and you're afraid of what people might say, or you're afraid of what people might think, or you're afraid of what the mocking or the scoffing that happens to others will happen to you as well. Tell me this. Do you let the public tell you what to eat? Do you let the public tell you what to wear? I don't know about those trousers, Matthew. I was thinking I need my dark glasses. They were bright. Somebody says he wears his sister's trousers. I don't know about that. He's a brave man, isn't he? You don't let people bully you around. You make your own choice. But isn't it interesting when it comes to the most important choice and decision in life, you let the public, you let people, you let pressure cause you to make the wrong choice because you're afraid of what the world will say about you. He gave in to the pressure of the people. He also ignored the pleading of his wife. She says, have nothing to do with this man. For in a dream I have been warned, there's another person in this meeting who before, a year before her mother was saved, she had a dream about eternal things. God speaks through dreams. And the warning that came through his partner, don't you be involved in this criminal act of rejecting Christ. You know, warnings come in many different ways. But you know the greatest warning that you and I have? Do you know the greatest warning? It's the warning of the cross. The cross stands in every man's way on his way to eternity. The cross tells me of God's love. The cross tells me of God's grace. The cross tells me how much God hates sin. The cross tells me how much God loves the sinner. But for whatever reason or thought, for any man and every person to get to hell, they have to sidestep the cross. It serves as the greatest warning for man. He ignored the pleading of his partner. He even acted against his own personal testimony. He knew deep down his personal preference. He knew deep down he needed Christ. And here's the third and last thing. Pilate's pointless display. He took a bowl of water. He washed his hands. I am free from the guilt of this man. See you to it. That was a public display of trying to alleviate himself and his conscience of his involvement in the death of Christ. Do you know that the greatest sin that anyone can commit is not murder, it's not theft, it's not slander, it's not lies? Do you know that the greatest sin that any man can commit is the rejection of Christ? The greatest sin that anyone can commit is the rejection of Christ. Let me say this to you. When you accept Christ, the sin of shame, the sin of lies, the sin of adultery are cleansed and forgiven, never to be remembered again by God. Well, what about this act? Pilate thought that he could remove his own guilt. And we know that Christ is the only means whereby our guilt can be forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he thought he could remove his own sin. I'm here to tell you, and Matthew is here to tell you, the only one that can forgive sin is the man that died on the middle cross. That's the only hope you have. Esther and I were over in Arizona earlier this year, my wife Esther. And the first sign that we saw when we got out of the car, when we went from one state into the other state, from, I forget the state that we were in before then, into Arizona, was beware of dangerous snakes. Dangerous snakes. And you know what? We haven't got any snakes here in Northern Ireland. Sure we haven't. Maybe a few snakes on 2 feet, but we haven't got any snakes. But all of us have been bitten by the venom of Satan. He has injected the venom of sin into our lives, and we are polluted by the venom of sin. And the only antidote for our sin is Christ. It's Christ. You wonder why you're growing old. Feel there in your forehead. Feel there. You feel them wrinkles? What about those old baggy eyes? Grey hair? Sore back? Look at all those white-haired critters running sitting around you. That's all the effects of the fall. That's all the effects of our fallen nature. And just as assuredly as you and I are growing old, just as assuredly as we are aging, and just as assuredly as we're polluted with the venom of sin, which has taken its toll, and if you don't get the antidote, it will end in death. He thought he could remove his own guilt. He thought he could shift the blame. Now that's something that's maybe extraordinary. Who left the door open? Who left the toilet seat up? Wasn't me. If you only knew the background. My mother and father cared not how I lived. If you want to see the house I was brought, listen, you cannot shift the blame. Because you have the greatest opportunity. Someone once said, just because you're born in the middle of a field doesn't say you stay there. You have an opportunity today. Matthew said it. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And he thought he could continue as normal. He thought this phase in his life would pass over and be gone. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I know not how long Pilate lived after that, but I know this, at this moment of time, Pilate wished he had decided for Jesus. Now we've done full circle. We've had this man, Jesus, standing before Pilate. You've listened to the message of the gospel as simply as I could make it tonight. You've heard me say how he is the one who takes away the sin of the world. He's the antidote for our sin. You've heard me speak about his life and his death on Calvary. And I've brought you into the courtroom and you have taken Pilate's place, every one of you. And I have had Jesus stand before you. Now, what's your choice tonight? Are you going to choose Barabbas? Or are you going to choose Jesus? I said this morning in this service, you can be an enemy of God, or you can be a child of God. You can be nothing else. And the only way that you can be a child of God tonight is when you put your faith and trust in Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we consider what you have been saying to us, perhaps, Lord, in this service tonight, there are those who are seriously considering their walk with God, their place, their position. They're considering this man called Jesus. The question has gone out to them, what shall we do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? In that meeting when Matthew was sitting over in the hall that Wednesday, or was it Tuesday? It was Wednesday. The choice was put as well. Christ or not? Matthew said, yes, Christ for me. I wonder would there be some in this gathering tonight and say, I want to decide for Christ. I'm going to pray for grace to give you that courage and strength, and then may give you the opportunity at the end. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we bring this meeting to a conclusion, as we consider, contemplate the one who stood before humanity, bore our sin and our shame, we pray, O God, that you'll help men and women to consider Christ, to take him as their Savior, trust him as their Lord, follow him with their life. Now perhaps in this gathering as your head is bowed and you thought about where your life is and you've known for a long time that you can't help yourself and you need something else. You need a friend to walk with you and his name is Jesus. You need a Savior within you to give you strength and courage. If that's your position tonight and you'd love to trust him, you're saying tonight, I would love to be saved. Will you raise your right hand? And when I see it, I'll tell you to take it down. Raise your right hand just now. And I know that you're serious about thinking of Christ. Just raise it where you are. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else? You can put it down again. I'll see you for the cup of tea. Thank you, sir. Yes, young man. Thank you. We'll chat to you in a moment. Anyone else? I know the battle. What am I going to do with Jesus? Well, what are you going to do? Raise your right hand just now where you are. Father, you see these lives and we pray for others that are doing the battle. As we sing this last song, we pray that great grace will follow every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song together. Please, as quiet as we can. As quiet as we can, please. And we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fifth verse of this song, Wash Me, O Lamb of God. This can be your prayer. And listen, those of you who have replied, don't run away. There will be a cup of tea. We'll talk to you over there. There's plenty of people here to talk with you and pray with you. And if you felt shy in the meeting but still would like to speak with us, then you can go and speak with us over in the hall. And don't rush away. Thank you very much. Thanks. We'll stand and sing. Verse 1, 3 and 5, Catherine. And we'll stand. Thanks.
Oh,
do not rush away. Come over for a cup of tea. Matthew will be making his way straight over there. And you can see him over there. And some of us else, if you want prayer, we'll take time to speak with you. That's the purpose of this gathering. That's what the purpose was. And so let's pray. Father, we pray that you'll continue with us as we go for the cup of tea. Thank you for those refreshments that are provided. And Father, in our conversation tonight, we pray that everything we have to say will be about our soul, about eternity, about Christ and our Saviour. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I will have some leaflets with me if you want. Ask me for them at the door. Thank you very much.